As our tropical forests are getting cut down by the second, efforts are being made to be able to bring them back. Tropical forests are essential to our world and keep our planet healthy as they can act as a carbon sink. This is Our Inheritance Podcast, where we focus on stories about climate solutions. We explore different pathways to a future where we not only put less carbon into our atmosphere, but where we actually begin to draw down the amount to a level that is sustainable for all life on Earth. I'm your host, Matt Carlson, and in this episode, we'll explore tropical forest restoration as a climate change solution. I'm just a kid from Minnesota, land of 10,000 lakes and the freezing cold, so you may be asking, why am I talking about tropical forest? Well, let me explain. I chose this topic because I knew that tropical forests have a big impact on our atmosphere, but I was still pretty unfamiliar with the topic just in general. I wanted to learn more. In order to learn more, I was fortunate enough to be able to connect with three incredible people who have far more expertise than me in the topic. Rainy Cortez works for the Nature Conservatory. She has not only lived in Brazil, Mexico, and Guatemala to focus on deforestation, but she has also been part of the United Nations climate negotiations. You may not live near a tropical forest like me, but this is Rainy's reason why you should still care.
So, I mean, a lot of people call, for example, the Amazon the lungs of the planet. Because as you know, trees breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen. And so they essentially give us the oxygen we need to live. Also, rainforests store massive amounts of carbon. And so a tree is essentially carbon. And so when you cut down the rainforests, burn them, all that carbon gets released into the atmosphere as carbon dioxide, which contributes to climate change.
Everyone breathes the same air. The atmosphere is all connected. So what happens on one side of the world will affect the other. If tropical forests are getting cut down, carbon is getting released into the atmosphere. Deforestation is the second leading cause of global warming. According to Project Drawdown, once blanketing 12% of the world's landmass, they now just cover 5%. To understand why it's so important that we restore our forest, we must first understand why they are getting cut down.
If it's your land, you own it. Whether you're somebody who's a little landowner that only owns a few hectares, or you're a giant, you know, it could even be a corporation, but otherwise a big landowner that owns, you know, thousands and thousands of hectares. On the one hand, it's a good thing if there are international sources of funding that can pay you to keep the forest standing rather than cut it down. But it's not such an automatic, easy decision as weighing that against, well, oh, that's nice, but I also can make more money if I plant a palm plantation or let cattle graze it for a while before I plant soybeans on it.
That was David Dayhoff, a Blake parent who has led a trip of Blake students to Brazil to take part in tropical forest restoration. He has his own personal passion for restoration from living in Brazil twice, working for Ecosystem Service Market Consortium, and participating in research. He was just saying it's not easy to say let's restore the forest. A lot of land is owned by private landowners and is a lot cheaper for them to cut down the rainforest instead of growing it back up.
If you drive anywhere in Latin America, you'll drive for miles and miles and miles and just see cattle ranches. But what you won't see any cows. You'll essentially just see grass. And all of that used to be tropical forest. It's been cut down and converted to cattle ranches, but they're super inefficient. So you'll have like one cow per hectare.
This is Ms. Cortez talking about the inefficiency of these landowners. Her job has been to go in and work with these landowners to provide them a plan to create an efficient way of making money without overusing land. So now that we have gotten to the point that we have land to restore, what do we do? I talked to Dr. Mark Cochran, who is a professor at the University of Maryland. He said that another big reason for why it's just hard to start these restorations is for the amount of preparation that goes into them. Lots of technology needs to be used, such as satellite technology, to determine soil type, climate, and the landscape of the locations. Experts are also looking for socio-environmental benefits and feasibility of restoration with direct and indirect consequences for nature, economies, and human well-being. Finally, once a location fits and when the plan is created where the restored forests are going to be able to survive on their own, the restoration starts to take place.
The places that I've been in the restoration project I've been involved in the mountains outside of Rio de Janeiro, they do collect native seeds from the existing forest and then grow, start them in a nursery and then plant them adjacent to the areas that have been, you know, the deforested areas versus where the forest is still standing.
Yeah.
But then the forest will spread really quickly. Like, it's remarkable how much forest will take root in a good, a wet tropical environment in the space of a few years.
As you just heard from Mr. Dayhoff, a lot of organizations that do restorations will use seeds from the natural forest to start growing the new forest. Sometimes that's not able to be done because the seeds can be really big or need specific soil types. But the more natural the reforested area it is, the better and more efficiently it will be able to survive on its own.
It's better, generally speaking, to have forests that touch each other, that can actually grow together, than have a bunch of isolated patches. So it's one thing to say, oh, let's say we've got four islands of forest or restored forest that are a total of 10,000 acres. That's generally not going to be as ecologically beneficial as if you took the same 10,000 acres, but you could link them together in some way, like to have a corridor or something that's between them. And some of it is because it allows the forest on its own ecosystem to spread and thrive by interacting with the other parts.
Biodiversity, especially birds, is very important to the restoration process because they are able to transport different species of vegetation from the natural rainforest to the restored tropical forest, so is able to expand and grow faster on their own. When connecting the restored and the natural, biodiversity is also able to travel between the two, which will help the process. This will lead to a faster growth, and the forest can start to manage itself. Dr. Cochran also pointed out to me that rainforest has a big effect on the rain, making sure that the reforest area has enough rain for these species is very important because that's how they survive, with the rain and in a moist environment. Mr. Dayhoff then pointed out to me that if we can help the forest get started, they are able to manage the rest.
The good news about tropical forests is that as long as you haven't really reached a tipping point, a lot of times they'll actually regenerate back pretty fast on their own. It's fairly remarkable.
Now what? We have planted the new restored forest with the old. We've done our parts, right? Well, no. Although we are planting the new trees and new vegetation, at the same time we are also releasing even more carbon into the air than we are taking out because of deforestation. Reforestation takes a lot longer growing trees than it is to cut down trees. Both deforestation and tropical reforestation go hand in hand.
The problem is, even as we do more reforestation, we need to stop the deforestation in the first place. And so right now we're deforesting faster than we're reforesting.
You may be asking, but Matt, didn't you say that most land is owned by private landowners and they make money from cutting down trees? Well, I hear you. Yes, their life depends on their income, and that's how they feed their families, so it's really important. We want that to be the case, but we want to work with them so that they are able to be more efficient and sustainable in their jobs. It's a benefit for both parties. We want governments and experts to work with the people so they are able to continue their jobs, but we are able to act on climate change.
And so the Nature Conservancy went in and we had this tool that helped the ranchers map out their land and figure out, you know, how much they had to restore to become into compliance and where they could have their cows and not deforest.
If we don't restore our rainforest, there will be major consequences. According to the conversation, 7 billion tons of carbon would be released into the atmosphere. Rain and clouds would start to disappear, leaving the world in drought. Thousands of different animal and plant species will go extinct. According to EarthDay.org, we're losing more than 18 million acres of forest every year. That's about 27 soccer fields of forest lost every minute. Responsible restoration programs can stabilize land from erosion or natural disasters, improve soil health and groundwater recharge, promote native and endemic fauna, and provide economic development for nearby communities. Science Advance says forest restoration may help people and biodiversity to face climate change where its consequences are most severe. Tropical restoration is a climate change solution. It's a solution that needs to be talked about. It will affect us in the years to come if we do not restore our forests. They act as carbon sinks, and tropical forests cannot act on their own. The carbon that's released from deforestation is going to affect us here in Minnesota and around the world. The solution cannot only be restoration. It depends on the prevention of deforestation as well as the support of the people. Pay attention to our rainforests. See what governments are doing and try to help restoration because it will affect you. There are multiple ways to be able to donate or help restoration. EarthDay.org is just one of the many organizations that are helping this project. They have a canopy project where they are focusing on restoring the rainforest. You can donate $1 for one tree. The more you are able to talk about the topic, the more the news is going to spread and the more change is going to be created. I'd like to thank the Blake School Environmental Science Program and Research Support Staff for helping source, cite, and fact-check this podcast. I'd also like to thank Britt Gagness at the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency and Mary Oldham Hanman for the University of Minnesota Institute of the Environment for their interview support. I'd like to thank Rainey Cortez, David Dayhoff, and Dr. Mark Cochran for taking the time to talk with me about climate change solutions. If you enjoy this podcast, please check out the others in our series. Thank you.